The Cat Attack Podcast. Kerr's Hire, local for over 30 years.
The Premier, His Excellency the Governor, members of the VRC, distinguished guests, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Kerr's Hire Cat Attack Podcast. King, I've always wanted to say that. I'm just practicing in case Charlie Rose wins a big race over the carnival.
You're not going to be the spokesperson.
No, probably not. But I've always wanted to use the phrase, His Excellency the Governor. In a speech. Kerr's Hire Cat Attack Podcast is ripping your eardrums apart, and the Cats certainly aren't ripping anything apart at the minute, King.
I don't want to talk about the Cats.
No, what do you want to talk about?
I want to talk about Monday morning and your roller coaster ride of the back of Hideki Mutsuyama.
Yeah, well, it was a good sesh. It was he ended up falling over the line, old Hideki.
Were you taking the Carrick footy team for dinner?
Probably just upsize your sort of KFC stats arrangement. Kerr's Hire Twitter.
Other way around. Kerr's Hire stats, KFC Twitter.
Yeah, that's it too.
Yeah, you going. Been a big week.
It has been a big week. No, it was good to see. And the Japanese media and the Japanese people would have been going, do you know he'd be into now $1.01, and I'm actually joking with that, but he would be into $1.01 to light the flame at the Olympics.
He would have good opposition though from Naomi Osaka.
Yes, he would. But this is bigger than that, I reckon.
Winning the Masters.
Yeah.
Did you hear that one of the newspapers in Japan had a lift out where it actually broke down his all 72 holes and how he played them?
Really?
As a lift out, yeah.
They were going berserk. And I love the way that they played a little bit of the commentary from Tokyo Radio during on the coverage.
They would have gone nuts.
Oh, they went nuts until he hit it in the water. And they love to get that sort of, yeah. Anyway, it was great. It was good for sport. Yeah. And I think he's a well-liked.
And good for
it's you. Amazing. He's and one of the
good for your bank balance.
Yes, it was good for that. The thing is, though, I don't. How many sportsmen do you know on the world stage that actually don't speak English, any English?
Mm.
Which is interesting.
Yeah, and had the interpreter.
Yeah, who travels with him?
Right.
They said to him, "Well, I don't know that he travels with him, but they did say they mentioned it a few times that you're a long time interpreter."
Yep.
So I assume that he does travel with him.
Yeah.
Imagine that gig.
Yeah.
How easy would that be?
Oh.
Just travelling the world, a few words here and there and...
getting paid for it.
Hit the bar. You just hope he doesn't wear you out after you've had a thousand drafts. So we're going to do a press conference today. Oh, what? So it was good. It was good for sport. I really enjoyed... I was barracking for him regardless of... for more than obvious reasons, but I was barracking for him to win. So it's good. Cats barracking for them to win, wow. Kingy, and they didn't. So...
Well, they weren't... I don't think they were ever winning Sunday.
No, they just were. You had that feeling about it. You could have got 220 about the Demons in the lead up.
So
I thought they got that seriously wrong. The old bookmakers.
The 2-2 is the same position they were in last year.
Yeah,
after four rounds.
Well, they're not handing the Premiership Cup out in April.
No, I think we get a little bit too enamoured by early results that, especially for a club like Geelong that haven't had a great run with injuries or suspension through the first part of the season. And they've had a forward line that's been non-functioning for two rounds.
Yeah, the forward line's the concern.
Well, actually, it's not the forward line. I think it's the delivery into the forward line is more the issue.
I'd argue, though, Kingy, I reckon that they've got issues everywhere. Not just in the forward line. That's probably the most glaring one at the moment.
Broken down horribly defensively. Cats turn the ball over at half forward and they're proving very... I suspect, and look, Melbourne are a good side. They're unbeaten 4-0, don't get me wrong. I don't think they're there when the whips are cracking at the end of the year. But I suspect an up-and-about Richmond would have beaten Geelong by 10 goals on.
No, oh, I've got Sunday. No doubt. I've got no doubt. But the thing is, for me, that the forward line is an issue with just Hawkins to kick it to at the moment, okay. And there will be people to come back. Right. So
Rowan back this week.
Yep. So
and Dangerfield back too. Yep. And I suspect... The midfield hasn't been the worst part of Geelong's game. Do they stay with the... Parfitt will come back more than likely. Do you run with your rotation of Parfitt, Selwood, O'Connor...
Guthrie,
Duncan, Menegola through there and say to Paddy, we think we need...
I don't... Well, you might be able to get away with it against North because they should beat North regardless. So I think what they do this week... perhaps won't be a reflection of what they would do if they were playing a strong team. So they could get away.
Which is West Coast the following week.
They could get it. I mean, with Rowan back, they probably will give Dangerfield a hit out in the midfield, I would have thought, just at some point to blow the cobwebs out. So,
well, he doesn't really need to. He's played.
No, well, that's true. But at AFL level,
yeah,
cobwebs sort of coming off a little bit.
Yeah.
Forward line, they get players back, right?
Yep.
So they'll, you know, the mix can change, things can change. Yep. So you think, well, there's reinforcements to come. Yep. Hasn't been great, but there's things happening. The midfield, probably the same. Yep. You know, they get Parfitt back, Dangerfield comes in. Is there, who else is there? I mean, they get Sean Higgins back in there at some point.
Yeah, well, that's a 4-8.
Yeah, so that's, but there is.
So that's probably more closer to 8, which is second half of the season.
Yeah, but there's players to come back into that.
Yep.
My concern is that I reckon there's a problem in defence. Mm. The defence has actually been okay.
Yep.
It's been not bad. But for me, I'm not potting him because he's playing poorly. He's not a bad player. But I don't think Lachie Henderson. I think Lachie Henderson, the structure of the defence is all wrong with Lachie Henderson in it, particularly when the instant Mark Blitz, the instant Reece Stanley is starting to get beaten, they take Mark Blitzarves out of defence, which leaves Lachie Henderson as your key defender.
Yep.
And he's too slow. He doesn't, and he's not suited to the modern game. The other thing to me is Tom Atkins, they've obviously made a decision last year to bring him in and make him your like a creative type attacking
halfback
defender. Yeah, great. That's fine. That's great. Didn't you draft Jordan Clark to do that?
Mm-hmm.
He's a first-round draft pick, yet you've gone and taken a bloke who was picked out of St. Joey's while he was eating a pie, and let's be honest, he's a very good toiler. He's a bit of a terrier. He's not a class player.
No.
He doesn't have the talent of Jordan Clark. He doesn't have the speed of Jordan Clark. There's a lot of elements to Jordan Clark's game but what Tom Atkins does is get the best out of himself.
Yep.
Jordan Clark perhaps doesn't get the best
out
of himself.
Now, he's not.
But why would you put a Dower type toiler as a creative your creative quarterback off half back when you've drafted a bloke who's into his third season, who was a first round draft pick, who played quite well in that role in his first year? I don't understand it. Lachie Henderson has to come out of that defence.
You could have asked Matthew Scarlett that last week.
I should have asked him that. I should have, and I didn't, but we will get another chance.
Yep.
But for mine, and this won't happen, so I'm not suggesting that this is going to happen, but for mine, Lachie Henderson doesn't play.
No, he'll be playing.
No, he will, exactly right, but he needs to come out of that defence.
Yep.
Blitzarves is your key defender, Collajasny is your second defender on the second tall,
yep.
And then you've got
Henry.
The likes of Stewart, Henry can go back.
Yep, well, Henry will go back.
Yep, and you could play Clark and Atkins in defence if you wanted to alongside Buse.
Where do you play Tui?
Well, Tui's at least better suited to getting a kick up the ground. Jordan Clark can't get a kick up the ground. He's playing the witness protection role.
What if I told you Luke Dalhouse is almost guaranteed to play this week?
Yeah, well, I'd say to you that they're really struggling because he is struggling.
Well, he's
200 grams.
Chris Scott today, media conference, I raised Luke Dalhouse. And said, is he the victim of not a great preseason? And Chris Scott said, well, nobody had a great preseason. It was the shortest preseason in history, et cetera, et cetera.
A few players must have.
Yeah. Well, he's was much more truncated than a lot of his teammates.
Yeah, he had injuries.
Yeah, he had the groin issues. I'm still shaking my head that off one VFL practice match, they thought Luke Dalhouse was right to go.
And Luke Dell is one of those players that needs to be playing week in, week out.
Yeah,
he needed a month in the tour.
He needs another
month.
He needs to go back,
oh.
But he won't. I suspect when the team comes out on Saturday night,
he'll be in it.
Al Dalhouse will be in it. So the question is, so if you've got Dangerfield, Rowan, Parfitt, who are the three going out?
Jordan Clark.
Well, they put him up to do media this week. Usually when a bloke's up to do media.
Yeah. Well, he's one that he just can't get a kick.
Right.
It's pretty odd. He cannot touch the ball.
Zach Guthrie will be out of the side.
Well, how did Zach Guthrie get back into the side would be the question I'm asking.
Yep.
I have absolutely no idea.
Sammy Simpson will play in the VFL.
Well, that's good. So Sam Simpson, unfortunately, is probably two or three, maybe a month away from getting back into the senior team, but he's one that could at least take the spot of Luke Dalhouse.
Yep.
This is part of the problem that Cat, they play these named players.
Mm.
They keep playing them, hoping something's going to change. And it doesn't.
Hmm.
Who else are there any other kids in there who could play?
Not right now.
No.
See, Evans was one.
Yeah, well, Evans, yeah.
Gets hurt.
Yeah. Simpson's out.
Holmes.
But he's not really a half forward.
No, I know, but Holmes, you know, He played and then he didn't play. He sat out last week. So
he was stiff, wasn't he?
Yeah, and he extremely. North Melbourne will probably be VFL for him.
It's hard though, isn't it?
It is, Benny. You're very childish. It's like working with a 14-year-old.
It is. Look, Kingy, 2-2, all's not lost, but it's... Do you think the Cats... I know, and we were saying exactly the same things last year. Their game style, they seem to be... You always look slow when you don't win, but the way they're moving the ball, it's so predictable.
They're too reactionary to what the defence is doing. Yeah. They actually need to put the defence on the back foot. What the defence is doing is putting Geelong on the back foot because all of a sudden the defence is reacting quicker to what Geelong's reacting. And as a result, the Cats look up the field and go, oh, where are we going?
Remember that final they played, the two finals they played last year against...
Port Adelaide, Collingwood, Brisbane.
So, Collingwood, Brisbane. Not the Port Adelaide one because they played stop-start footy.
Yep, Collingwood, Brisbane.
Suddenly the next week it was... We've got to move it on at all costs.
Shackles
How
are off.
Good did they look?
Yeah, fantastic. And we don't know why they're not doing it.
And one of the things was that the last couple of weeks without Dangerfield and without Rowan and with only basically Hawkins up there, if you ever needed to be more unpredictable and move the footy a bit quicker to try and use people other than name Tom Hawkins, was the last 2 weeks, was to take the game on. Because if you were going to play stop-start, the last kick was always going to be a high ball and hope Hawkins marks it against 44 other defenders. Mm. Never going to happen. So it's very frustrating. So you'll get players back and then there might be this play on at all costs. I don't know. Yeah, look, they're so predictable at the moment, the Cats. I just don't know if they've got enough leg speed. Do you know what has been, not exciting because he's been doing it for 1,000 years, but the former Joel Selwood's been good.
Yeah, the skipper's basically said, I'm going around next year. He's out of contract at the end of this year, but I suspect. And they have to be prudent in the way they play him. They need to, he can't play 22 plus hopefully finals. He needs to be given a break at round 7 or 8.
Probably.
And then have his bye week, and then he needs to be given another break at around 16 or 17. And there's a trip to Perth, I reckon, to play Frio around that. Don't put him on that plane.
They might need him, though.
Yeah, but do you know what? But there's no point sending him there. And remember what they did with Ablett in 2019?
Yep.
They got so sucked up by the form he was in and how good he was going, and they didn't rest him. They kept talking about it, and he got hurt, and then he got a rest. But he was fried by the end of the year. Don't do that to the skipper. No, and especially the combative way he plays. Give him 2 or 3 breaks through the year. And do you know what?
Yeah, but the problem is they're 2-2.
But that's
they're not 4-0.
Well, but that's okay. You physically...
Yeah, but you rest him and then you don't make the finals.
Well...
I'm not saying if he's out you can't win, but they're not. It's a very fine line when you are say 3-3 or 4-4, and you are battling and you're leaving out the bloke. Right now, he'd be leading their best and fairest.
Yes, correct. But physically, if you want him to go next year, I'd be doing it as well.
Yeah, he's one of those players that just thrives on hard work. Yeah. He gets better, and I think his body this year is, of the last couple of years, he's clearly had issues. Hamstring, was that last year or the year before?
No, he had the hamstring last year. He pulled the hamstring in the Collingwood game
last year. He played the last couple of years, I think, with injuries that have curtailed his ability to train, and that flowed onto his game.
Yep.
This year, I think his body seems in a really good spot in terms of his ability to back up and play.
Yep.
I don't know. He definitely wouldn't be putting his hand up not to play.
Okay.
It's a tricky balance with him as opposed to someone like Ablett.
So run him through until the break at round 12. Reassess where you are and hopefully you're 7-4.
Yep.
At worst, 6-5. But if you're 7-4, 8-3, then maybe you can look at, knowing you've got a good run of games at GMHBA in the last, especially because you've got the last 3 at home, that you do look at that maybe trip to Perth and you go, do you know what, Joel? Go disappear.
Well, if you wanted to rest him, this would be the week to rest him.
Yeah.
I mean, with Parford and Dangerfield coming back, if they can't beat North Melbourne at home, there's some serious alarm bells.
Then we start.
There's danger Will Robinson sort of style.
Yeah, then we start talking.
So this is the week where you probably can, but you'd be really reluctant to rest him in a 50-50 game and you lose by 8 points and the skipper's not out there and he's actually fit.
Mm.
That's part of, I don't know if I'd want to be part of all that.
Mm. Do you want to answer some questions?
I love answering questions.
Shadow 89, I know it's a lot to ask, but given the likely number of people who are probably digging their claws into their armrests over the Cameron situation, any way you could find out exactly what is happening here, if he has retweaked his hammy and how long it is until we will see him. We won't see him this week, and I would suspect we're not seeing him against West Coast. There are
so a four-week hamstring is going to be six at least.
Maybe. Well, he hasn't played since the Essendon game, which was March the 6th. And he heard it again in the lead up to round one, so that's now a month ago. So it'd become a 6 weeker by the time if he played in the first week of May.
So he's had a serious recurrence of that injury.
Yep,
then,
yep, yep. So,
you're suggesting he won't be back? Well, clearly he won't be back this week. Won't be back the week after.
They're doubtful about
it. I thought he was saying that he was sort of getting closer.
Well, he said he had 2 to 3 sessions to get through, and he thought he'd be right. So I don't know whether the club have just been ultra conservative.
Probably.
Which they probably have to be because it's a significant investment that they've made. 5 years and he's...
And they don't have a great injury history with getting blokes black.
Soft, yeah, different medical staff, so...
Yeah. I know, but the carryover from that
yeah.
is to be even more cautious because you don't want to be the medical staff that puts him back out there. Yeah. Within 5 minutes, he does it again.
Again, yep.
And you've got the coach kind of tapping on your door going,
why?
What's just happened there?
Yeah. Yes.
Get the defibs.
The best I can offer up, Shadow 89, is that he's not playing. I suspect he's not playing the next fortnight. Definitely not this week, unless he makes a miracle leap forward. I suspect it's not the week after either. Cat to the future, not a great outing by any stretch. Sam De Koning has been working around wing ruck in a kind of blitz half development role. Stanley looks like he never got over the calf injury. Any chance he comes in for a debut and can rotate with blitz? No, Sam De Koning's not debuting. He needs a good stint in the VFL at proper VFL standard, not scratch
matches. Is he suggesting in the ruck?
Yeah.
Oh, the kid, you'd fry him.
Yep.
He's just not physically... I don't know if he's even a ruckman long term.
He's a key defender.
He's a key defender. Yep. But they're throwing him in the ruck. You just wouldn't... He would get devoured, sort of ice cream style.
Danger Rowan Parfitt back against the Roos in a playing group that will want a solid rebound. How bad an injury would you fake if you were a shin boner? You know, I'm not sure what that means.
As in the not to play.
Yeah.
Because he thinks the Cats are going to pants them.
Well, I hope so.
They're not going that well, the Cats.
No.
They'll win, but it'll be interesting to see how much they win by because they are just going.
Howler 41, why did it take so long for Brad Close to get back in? He's got clean hands and he's good. A natural footballer. It was just down to injury.
That's a good call. I really like him, though. Do you know what I really like about him? For a young player who's played, less than 10 games? Maybe 9? 9 or 10?
Yeah, 9 or 10. Yeah, I think he played 8 last year.
His ability to read what's around him and dispose of the ball quickly. Mm. There was one passage of play last weekend where he had the ball on the wing and I thought he was going to get run down because he had blokes converging from both sides and he had a 0.2 of a second to get rid of the ball and he dished off a handball, a really nice handball to someone out wide on the wing. It's just good awareness for somebody who hasn't. Most players with that inexperience would have got caught and you wouldn't have blamed them for getting caught because the instant he got the ball, had two blokes descending on him within an instant. So, and he's got good, every time he goes near the ball, you think something is going to happen. So I really like him. He's a player that, they might have found one there, the Cats. Wait till he's got 50 or 60 games under his belt.
Is there a chance by the end of the season we might pick a 22 entirely made up of defenders? Odd choice having Narkle as an emergency, having playing VFL, but glad he got a run. We were clearly outpointed by Melbourne. It'd be nice for the coach to drop a regular, but most likely young blokes when we see out. Well, it'll be interesting to see who does. Does Clark go out? I know facing the media is not necessarily...
He just can't get a kick. And I think he's not playing in his position that he needs to play yet. We've tried to make a battler from the GFL a creative defender.
Hey boys, Nathan Kruger, do you think we'll ever see Freddie play for Geelong or will he be another Joel Hamling? What do you think of the idea of trying to convert him into a defender as we already play 12 of them on game day? I can remember Troy Selwood was interviewed and they asked him who is one player you're looking forward to seeing play AFL and Kruger was the player named. I'm not sure why he hasn't been given a chance to play in the past 2 weeks as playing him forward would have freed up Hawkins from being double tagged. I'm not sure Foxdog 50 whether Nathan Kruger is ready for AFL footy.
Well, he spoke to Matthew Scarlett and he intimated that he was still...
Yeah.
I think he's... he had 2 years playing up forward and now they've tried to turn him into a defender.
He played some in defence last year as well. But last year for a lot of blokes, just if they were not ones footballers or even close to being, playing in those scratch matches, I know it was footy, but they were worthless. You know, they were good for some... If you were on the fringe But you look at Geelong last year, they were fairly settled for most of last year, the Cats. They didn't give opportunities to many blokes. Close was a rare one.
Yep.
You know, Clark had to bide his time. You know, three games he played last year. So I'd be, yeah, I don't think we're seeing Nathan Kruger anytime soon. This person calls himself my third nipple. G'day, boys. Is this it? Is this the cliff edge?
Yeah, the third one.
It's been predicted every year for the last decade. Is this year we fall off the cliff? Suppose if you throw enough darts, eventually one will hit the bullseye. After watching Sunday and expecting a loss, this felt like a little more than just a loss. It felt like a change in the guard. We look like a shadow of our former self, and I'm afraid this feels like the train has departed and we're stuck on the platform. It's 2-2. Come back to me in a month. If it's 4-4 or 3-5... then I will be concerned. And if it's a poor 4-4, like if it's a 4-4 where West Coast and Richmond have got hold of the Cats,
yeah,
then I'll start going, all right, there's some issues there. But if they're 5-3 or 6-2, then and they've set themselves a platform, you know, nobody. So Melbourne and Sydney and the Bulldogs have cleared out for the moment at 4-0. But like Adelaide's 3-1.
Yeah, and
they've won as many games this year as they won last.
I'm not sure when the whips are cracking. Yeah. I love that expression. When the whips are cracking, I don't think Sydney will be there.
Melbourne?
I think Melbourne are more likely to hang on than Sydney. But if all things being considered, I don't think Melbourne are a premiership team.
The Dogs?
Now the Dogs are a different kettle of fish. The Dogs have got an unbelievable forward line. An unbelievable midfield, a reasonable forward line. I just reckon their Achilles heel is going to be in defence against players, teams that have got a couple of big key forwards.
So who's playing on Hawkins from the Dogs?
Yeah, well, Ryan Gardner.
Well, he's injured.
Yeah. Well, no, I think that's going to be an issue for them against good teams.
Mr. Scott's remarks last week about not having a great job have made me start thinking his attitude could infiltrate into the whole football department. It may have been a fleeting comment, but if you're seriously thinking it's not a good job, it's time to give it away. I think a little bit too much has been read into the comments Chris Scott made. It was a lot to do more with it, about his brother and him being back in the system. So, I understand where my third nipple is coming from. There hasn't been a management issue like this for a long time, but at the club, I'm hoping carefully consideration has been made with a new president and will continue being made with regards to the employment of the new CEO and a possible senior coach. Interesting time ahead. So, it'd be interesting to see who the new CEO is. Stuart Fox's name keeps getting...
Do you reckon he's sick of the MCC?
Well, I was talking to somebody... And they said, Stuart's not a massive cricket person. He's a football person first. And he's got to deal with the cricket side of things as well. So whether he sees an opportunity, you know, Geelong's home, does he come back and take a role down here? And he wouldn't be the worst appointment.
Is he a Geelong boy?
Yeah, I believe so. Yeah. Well, he worked for council before.
Yeah, I think he'd be a good choice. He's been up there, seen the grass from the... From a different vantage point at the MCC, he knows Geelong.
Been to the Hawks.
He knows the footy club. I reckon he'd be a really good appointment.
Got a question
if he could get it right.
Got a question for you.
Yes.
Is Chris Scott coach of Geelong beyond his contract finishing at the end of 2022?
When's that next year? No.
No.
I just think that Chris Scott is, and he's drafting and recruiting and I'm sure people say, oh, it's not just him, and yeah, of course it isn't, but he's the one that's driving it. It has been that we need to be a premiership contender every year.
That's not him driving that. That's coming from above.
Yeah, but he's making decisions, list decisions that I mean, I think Lockie Henderson stayed at the footy club on the coach's recommendation. The coach was the one who wanted Lockie Henderson. Others at the footy club wanted Lockie Henderson to, you know, thought that the time was up, but the coach stepped in and wanted him in. So,
well, he only got a spot back because Ryan Abbott decided his future was at St Kilda.
Yeah.
If Ryan Abbott doesn't make that move, Lockie Henderson, well, he was planning to travel the world last year.
And we've got, he's our key defender. He's our number one key defender because Blitzarves has to keep going up the field when the smoke signals go up saying we need some help on the wing or in the ruck or wherever else he wants to put him. So we've got a bloke they want to get rid of 2 years ago who's now our key defender. You're not winning the premiership with Lockie Henderson as your key defender. And that's not a knock on him because he's not a bad player. But the way the modern game is going, he ain't the bloke you need in there.
Flogwater. The Cats have started 2-2 the last two seasons. Last year Geelong were able to
recover. Hang on, you asked me about Chris Scott.
Yes.
The instant Chris Scott, I reckon this will be my take on it. The instant Chris Scott feels that Geelong is going into a season with zero chance of winning the premiership, he'll be looking for another gig. And that could be very soon.
The Cats have started 2-2 the last two seasons. Last year, Geelong were able to recover and reach top four. Club's prospects seem shakier this year, perilously close to a 0-4 start, inconsistent, and the sluggish ball movement is a major worry. My question is, do you think top four home and away finish is still a reasonable prospect? It's still reasonable.
Yeah, of course
it is. But in a month, it might not be.
No, I agree.
If you're 4-4, I reckon it'll be hard.
Yeah, although, didn't Richmond do it from, they won the premiership from 7-6?
They did.
Yeah. So it can be done. I'm not suggesting Geelong or Richmond. Yeah, that's probably the problem. Look, Geelong have got the cattle to seriously turn things around. You get Jeremy Cameron in there with a month under his belt.
You get Higgins back.
Well, you get Higgins back to a degree, but Cameron is the one that probably can really alter the way the Cats play. Mm. I'm not suggesting he's going to come in and kick six goals every week, but he can change the way that they play because he's that sort of link player who can roam the field. Is he an endurance beast? I'm not.
Cameron? Yeah, he's fantastic.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. So that can change the way the Cats play. So, top four is still definitely on the cards. It's just a matter of, like you say, let's find out after round 10, and if they'd need to be at least probably 6-4.
Here we go. Flogwater, did it take Ben long to get nude after Hideki Matsuyama's win in the US Masters?
I was watching. Do you know how cold it was that morning? I got up at 5:30, and Hideki just smashed one down five, I think, and then he just rammed a putt in. It was moved the hole, basically, and I thought, today's his day. Mm. And then he got really, really nervous late. Mm. So did I.
Des Broncos. Gents, I highly recommend never leaving Heidi Klum for anything, especially the tripe we served up on the weekend. For those who don't get that reference, I think he was working America's Got Talent, Des, and in the back rooms and left early. And Heidi Klum must be a judge on America's Got Talent. You might know that more than me, Benny. No, you're a bit of a pop culture fiend.
No, I do not do reality television.
Actually, you're just a fiend. Ever. You're just a fiend. Has Benny been found? Is he okay? And has the celebrations been akin to the Hangover Parts 1, 2, and 3?
No, they haven't. I went, what happened Monday? I worked on Monday. Went and saw some horse breakers, actually, on Monday, And then I went down to Warrnambool on Tuesday. Getting cold though, Kingy, I tell you. Track work Tuesday morning. Yeah.
You haven't done a winter yet, have
no,
you?
No, I haven't. And I can just sense as soon as daylight saving crushed, we the temperature has just got, it's milli vanilli.
I always say Anzac Day is the, you get the nice days and then Anzac Day, bang. Yeah. It's gone. Ben, can I ask you a question?
No, here we go.
You'll be able to answer this.
Is this going to be?
Why, when there are 9 daylight hours in winter, why do the racing industry persist on still doing track work in the dark?
Well, some don't. We don't do it in the dark.
Some do, though.
Some do. Yeah, Quinton Scott, old style trainer. He's there at the track at like 3:30. He's gone by 5 o'clock. Because, Kingy, do you want to know the reason why?
Yeah, that's why I asked you the question.
Because people have got races to get to.
Is that as simple as that?
Yeah, so it would be great to be able to do track work at 10 o'clock, but then how do you get to the races by 12 o'clock when you've got to travel 3.5, 4 hours to get there? It's simply not viable. The bigger question is, why do racing authorities continue with twilight racing when
daylight saving's finished?
Well, no, there's night racing tonight.
Yep.
I think there's night racing tomorrow night, maybe, Cranbourne. But, during the week, we're trying to get horses from Warrnambool to Sandown and you're in the last race.
At 7:30.
You don't get home till 11:30 midnight, having had staff that potentially have been up since 5 o'clock. Yeah. Someone will drive off the road and die, and that's the only time that they will change it.
All right, I need you to probably raise that with our good friends at RV.
Oh, look, a lot of people have raised it. It's the only reason they do it, it's like most things, Kingy, it's driven by the dollars. Yeah. Why does a lot of things happen in footy in terms of time slots? Because the broadcaster says that's when they want them. And racing is ruled by the punt, the gambler.
Yep.
And the turnover is a lot more when they have, because people are getting home from work at 4, 3, 4, 5 o'clock. They're seeing 3, 4, 5 races rather than getting home at 5 o'clock and seeing none. Yep. It's but there needs to be a compromise. There needs to be something done because it's just not healthy for the industry.
Back to Daz Broncos. To the game, Selwood is an out-and-out champion. To lead from the front as he did trying to drag the team over the line was outstanding. The toll it takes must be epic on him. Cooper Stevens can't come soon enough, but are we lacking developing mids behind him? Selwood is not replaceable, but who do you see as the next midfielder coming through? I think the cupboard is a little bit bare as Chook is on the outer, yep. Like Pluto-style outer.
I asked you this. Somebody asked me this question, Kingy, and I don't want this to sound like it's coming from me because... I have said it, but it made me sort of have another rethink.
Yep.
And this guy I spoke to is a level-headed footy fan. So I don't want this to come across as sort of Chris Scott bashing because yep. But he said to me, name me three players or name me four players that have developed, that have shot up under Chris Scott in the same fashion that so many players shot up under the tutelage of Bomber Thompson.
Mm.
Who?
Blitzarves.
Yep.
Cam Guthrie.
Yeah, he's been solid, yep. He's taken time though, hasn't he?
Jack Henry.
No, he's trending in the right direction. I'm not sure that he's at a level where you'd sort of see. He is getting better, but he's still a mile off being a really, really good player. But he is heading in the right direction.
But he's only got 70 games.
Yeah, he is heading in the right direction. But, I mean, one, you'd probably say Colin Jasny's developing. Yeah.
But you think of those blokes that shot up under Bomber.
Buse has developed.
A lot of those took 100 games.
To find their feet.
Correct. Corey Enright.
Yep.
Joel Corey. Andrew Mackie.
Yeah.
We weren't talking about them as... Like, I think we'll compare Jack Henry favourably to maybe Mackie.
Oh, wow, that's pretty cool.
At 150 games.
Yeah, geez, I'd like to hope so.
Yeah.
I don't know about that.
But the other thing is too, Benny, we speak about that 07, 9/11 and we look at it through very, very rose-coloured glasses and we've got to remember that was a once-in-a-generation, like that's a once-in-a-lifetime.
Yeah.
And you spoke about it. You will never see in your late 40s, you've got probably another 40 years left on this earth. You are not going to see a Geelong.
If I've got 40, oh, goodness me. Yeah. There'd be the
poor
undercarriage.
Poor Marianne.
Oh, the undercarriage would be a bit Gonski boy, well, yeah.
Not a Chris Scott apologist, but I will hear you say that he came off the back of an era that was just something that the club had never seen before other than the early 50s and never will see again.
We just keep bringing in so many different players that I wonder...
Is it stunting the growth of...
Yeah, others. I mean, we saw... You know, we saw last year with Tim Kelly leaving and then Selwood sort of being not quite the player that we're used to, accustomed to. Who stood up?
Well, Guthrie did.
And Manigola.
Yep.
Now, I'm not the world's biggest Sam Manigault fan, but he did step up last year. I just wonder whether we keep bringing in these guys. So, guys like, we bring in Smith and we bring in Higgins. You know, does that then stunt the growth of players like
Simpson.
Parfitt, Sam Simpson,
Narkle.
Myers, Narkle?
Well, I don't think it's going to stunt Myers' growth. I think Myers' life is as a
half forward. Maybe not him. He's probably not a great example. But I just wonder, we continue to bring in all these players and we also the mix of the team. I mean, if you look at what's the difference between us and Richmond, they have the same blokes every year. They don't bring in anybody. I mean, they bring in the odd player here and there. They develop guys like Bolter.
But they haven't had the blokes drop off retirement-wise yet either. Wait till they start losing.
It'll be interesting to see what path they go down.
Yeah. So since 2013, you've gone Corey. Well, so you started with Ottens and Ling, gone. Then you've gone, you lost Gaz to the Gold Coast. And then you've lost Corey. And you've lost Chapman and Kelly and Bartell. Now Taylor and Ablett again.
Yeah.
Richmond haven't had that. Who's retired out of that?
No, they haven't.
Nobody. So that will start in a couple of years when Cochin goes, well, I'm done. And then it's Jack Re- well, it's Cochin and Jack Riewoldt at a similar time. And then it's...
Well, Riewoldt's, 33?
Yeah.
It'll be interesting to see, but I don't know. It just seems that we do just mix it up too much. Maybe mix it up too much each year. And, that makes it difficult for the players then to gel, get that sort of... continuity they talk about. I mean, Chris Scott talks about the fact that, it's going to take some time. Well, each year it seems to be taking time because we're bringing in three or four new players who play key roles in the team and then get games because they are recruited and there is an expectation that they have to play to justify the recruitment. Although Smith's been pretty good.
Is that why Luke Dalhouse is still getting a game?
Well, no, he's if he was first year player at Geelong, I would say yes. Mm. He's not. I just don't see. You just can't keep rewarding guys who are not playing well. And that's probably through no fault of his own. He was probably thrown into round one when he shouldn't have been.
Correct.
So he'd go back into the twos, 2 or 3 weeks in the twos, find a little bit of form, get a bit of confidence. He can come back in there with seven or eight games under his belt and be a good player again. Right now, he just looks absolutely lost. He's providing nothing either way. Jordan Clark is exactly the same, albeit a younger player. He can't get a kick. I feel for the kid because I don't know that he works hard enough, though. Mm. It's all right when it's going his way. You saw when he took that mark and runs into the open goal. Suddenly, he's 10 times faster than he does anything defensively. Mm. And I'm just not sure he's competitive enough. He's got a couple of times he just goes at 40%, and you've got to be going at 100% in that level.
This week's Kerr's Hire bonus question.
What was a bonus? Is it
from Daz? To the future, once Cookie leaves, whom or what type of person do we want, need in that role going forward? Should it be a GFC-based footy person, someone outside the club but with footy acumen, or a rank outsider with a savvy business record but no footy ties? Just go and get Stuart Fox.
Yeah. Yeah, I think he'd be good. I'd like to see, if it wasn't Stuart Fox, I would like to see somebody that has no ties to Geelong, who comes in and sees the place through eyes that haven't laid eyes on the Cats before. I think there's a lot of...
Stuart's time away has been long enough.
Yeah.
He's been away 12 years.
Yep.
11 years. So I don't think he's had dealings with Chris Scott. I'm sure he was gone by the time Scotty...
No, he'd be good. I do think he'd be good, but I also think that... Yeah, he's probably been long enough for his eyes to be fresh, but I really think that there'd be, that we need a... I don't know what the Cats... Just maybe some new ideas.
What about a Jerry from the club?
Probably not Jerry from the club. I wouldn't have thought.
Go and watch the club, and you'll find out that Jerry was the secretary manager of Collingwood in the club.
He was the treasurer,
and he was dead set playing everybody off each other. It's one of the great backstabbing.
But it will be interesting to see what they do because I think that it will shape the direction of the club. We've had a direction of one way for a long, long time. I don't know how often you can just keep getting players, named players, on reasonable contracts from other clubs without winning a premiership and just staying relevant is, I don't know. Mm. It's an interesting one.
All right.
This next 10 weeks could have a huge bearing on what happens to the club in the longer term.
Yep. Whom is the K-Rock played for both guests this week? Lee Tudor, Robert Scott, Lee Colbert, Cam Mooney, Josh Walker or Brad Scholl? We have put the call out to Robert Scott.
Well, if we don't get him, we could get Brad Scholl again. Because we did have him on many years ago.
Wasn't he working on...
He works down at Portland.
Yeah.
Well, he was.
Yeah.
Whether he was, is. I think he was working on a mine site or some sort of site where he wasn't supposed to have his phone.
Well, I thought he was on an oil rig or something.
Yeah, he might have been. I don't think he was supposed to have his phone, but he was doing an interview on the phone. He was actually quite funny.
He is very funny.
Yeah, so he could be our backstop.
NQ Flog. Hey, boys. I will start by saying it's early in the season. The Cats can definitely turn it around and play some great footy. However, we played bruise-free football for the first 2.5 quarters. Poor body language, not playing for each other, low energy and intensity. Speaking about intensity, can someone tell Min... he's added the extra N. Meningola. He's on a football field, not eating an ice cream down at the beach. With Chris Scott in his 11th year as head coach, has the message started to fall on deaf ears?
No, I don't think so. Meningola is one of those players that... He just needs to be playing every week to be at his best. And the instant he's not and has a break, he really comes back to the pack because he's probably, an average type player. I'm not knocking him, but he's the one that if he's playing each week and he gets the feel for it and he gets into a rhythm, he can be reasonably handy. That's my point with Luke Dalhouse. He needs to have played footy. He isn't good enough to come in off an injury-interrupted preseason and perform, particularly in the position he plays. So that's where these guys just get games. I don't know. Anyway, we'll find out. This week probably won't be a great test for anything.
No, the Eagles are following week.
Yeah, the Eagles are following week. We'll provide. And then who's the week after that?
It's Sydney and Sydney.
Yeah, well, that's even bigger. So, this week, following 2 weeks would be really important.
Give us a better... Then it's Richmond at the MCG. And then St Kilda at Marvel.
Yeah, see that. Well, that month. Yep. That probably shapes the Cats season.
Yep.
If they can only win one of those games, they'll be 3-4.
3-5. Yeah, 3-5.
3-5. Yeah. Yep.
Oh well, it depends. If they beat North and then only win one, 4-4.
Yeah. So that's yeah, and depending upon what other teams do,
yep.
they potentially could be 3 or 4. They would be out of the 8
and out of the top,
and potentially three games out of the top 4,
which is hard to win a flag.
Well, you can still get in there, but it makes it very, very difficult, particularly. And if they are that, they're probably not playing that well.
No. See you on Sunday, Benny.
Right, yeah, good working.
Kerr's Hire, Geelong's official Wacker Neuson dealer, North Geelong, Grovedale, and Ocean Grove. KerrsHire.com.au.